B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Go, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Stolen by the doctor. Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocks the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
Look, Cuz, don't even try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, everybody. Happy, happy, happy Tuesday to all across the Delaware Valley. That's right. Happy Tuesday as we continue. It's the final day of March as we cross an X through Tuesday, March 31st. By the way, let's give you a chance to win a few dollars. That's right. This hour's Fast Cash keyword is DJ. That's it, DJ, like DJ Moore. Enter the Fast Cash keyword DJ on the Fanatic app, 975thefanatic.com, or by texting just the two letters, D and J, to 45911 by 10:15 a.m. We'll call you if you're randomly selected. You'll win $1,000. Everybody that enters on our app or website will be qualified for a $10,000 grand prize. Good luck. All right, a couple things just to get started. Hot off the presses, and this is very interesting. China has decided at the last minute to delay opening their basketball, its basketball league. That's right. I'll read you. This is from the story, Brian Windhorst, ESPN.com. And this is important because this is the NBA. Remember, you know, China's a few months ahead of us when it comes to the pandemic. And today, this morning, in a setback to the resumption of professional sports, the Chinese government issued an order Tuesday delaying the restart of the Chinese Basketball Association and other group sporting events. ESPN has learned. The Chinese Basketball League's attempts to return to action after being shut down since January. So remember, they shut down in January, and it's being viewed as a test case for our leagues. That's the especially the NBA. So they have the general administration of sports. It's the governing body in China over sports. They issued the order. They gave no timetable on when it plans to lift the new restrictions. The Chinese Basketball Association had been making plans, now listen to this, to split its 20 teams and send them to two cities and have them play each other in empty arenas within a month. And that's a plan the NBA might consider down the line. And just reading from the story, while the spread of the disease has slowed dramatically in China, and some aspects of life are headed toward normalcy, sports officials are still concerned about asymptomatic carriers. So, in fact, they still said that the real issue is can they survive without kind of restoking the fires of the pandemic. So in addition to basketball, the Chinese government specifically also shut down the possibility of marathons and encouraged citizens to work out by themselves. So what happened was the association planned to house teams in quarantined hotels with multiple temperature checks per day to try to avoid the risk of exposure and spread the virus. Now, we got a lot of American guys playing there, including Jeremy Lin, Chinese-American, and Lance Stevenson, who you remember, the crazy Lance. They returned to China within the last 2 weeks to start a 14-day quarantine with the expectation that the season would begin soon. The teams had begun holding practices as they waited for their foreign teammates to be cleared to join them. So, interesting, China has shut down. Now, again, they shut down in January. So they were, as you know, well before us. And they were looking at doing the two cities, having 10 teams in two cities and playing in those empty arenas. I got to tell you, I mean, we are now in, we're about to start April. The whole country is under quarantine for another month. Now you get to May. We can't tell how this is going to be. We can only hope that we reached, we're on the other side of the peak in May, once May begins. And let's hope we are. Let's for the sake of argument, say that we are on the other side of the peak. That still leaves a couple months, at least 6 to 8 weeks, before I think we feel comfortable in mass gatherings. So that now takes us, you know, almost to July. In which case, I don't see how the NBA could start up. I know they've been trying, desperately wanting to try to start up. I don't see how. If China is an example, how is the NBA going to start up if China right now, and again, they shut down, they were going to reopen, they shut down, and nobody knows for how long until the Chinese Basketball Association will start playing. So, I mean, at some point, I think you got to call it a year. I mean, it's too soon now, but I just don't know how you're going to rally to play games. Good morning, Junis.
Yeah, I think it's becoming more and more evident that there's no way this league comes back. And I know, like, I'm reading the Winhurst tweets following his story saying that the CBA still is trying to play the remainder of this season. I just don't understand what you're going to do. I mean, if this goes till June.
That's the Chinese Basketball Association.
No, I think it was. Oh, okay. But still.
CBA is the Chinese Basketball.
I mean, even if we go to June, right, with the NBA not playing, are they going to be able to just start things and play the playoffs? I don't think so. Because then all of a sudden you're in August. Right? Because you can't just start right away. You need to give guys time to come back. You have to open the facilities for the teams first to get back, to work out with each other, to get some sort of scheme together for the playoffs. So that's going to be midway through June. Then you're playing into maybe early August.
I don't see
it happening.
Well, you're going to be playing beyond August. I mean, like deep into August.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if they do back to backs, but they're not going to do that come playoff time. They can't do that to the teams, especially when they haven't been playing.
I mean, you have a long layoff. I mean, at some point, listen, would I like to see them come back and play? Yeah, I mean, like, we're starving for sports, man. We're dying for it. However, you know, I mean, life is more important, right? I mean,
yes.
And just judging by this, I mean, I got news for you. And I'm not one of these doomsayers. I mean, I'm just thinking from a realistic standpoint. As a thirsty sports fan, I mean, I'd be happy to take baseball come middle of July. I'll be happy to take football in August.
So that's why, you know, that Herb Street stuff was alarming last week.
I know.
And he's right. He said they're not going to have a vaccine developed yet. And then, I mean, you know, the hope is, we talked about this last week, the hope is that when it's warmer out, maybe it burns off a little bit. We're starting to realize that that's not going to be true because it's happening in Florida. It's happening in other warm areas of the of the world.
Yeah.
But even if that was the case, it'll spike back up come flu season, right? Which is November, which is mid-October, November, December. And that's when football's happening.
Yeah.
And so it's a scary thought, but we might not have football this year.
Yeah, I agree. I'm oh my God. I hear you. I mean, I'm just judging from China, right? Because we are, you know, a few months behind China. If
right.
they're shutting down now and they shut down their plans to restart their league, then, you know, do the math. You know, we're taking you into June before the NBA could even think about it. You know?
I hear you. This is it's scary and it stinks. So it's another blow toward our hope for sports to be returning anytime soon.
Yeah.
And again, life and health is more important than sports, but
no, I mean,
sports
listen,
is such a distraction from everyday life, and we don't have that distraction anymore.
No, I know. Listen, we you know, again, we our star fort. This is our sandbox that we play out of, and so it's a big story. Because it's also a story where if you feel comfortable enough to have sports, then you're comfortable enough to have the country open and doing business, which is the most important thing when we talk about, you know, stimulating the economy. But again, before that can even happen, we have to curb the spike of the virus. And again, that's another thing that we are, you know, that, so all these projections are really interesting. And I think that story out of China today has a huge implication for us. So, all right, let's do this, brother. Also, we're going to have some fun today. We're going to get your mind off of things. I'm curious to what you guys think about just this whole notion of when we could start up, because I don't know. I'm hoping. I don't know. I'm curious. Like, what do you want? Like, what are we craving? And by the way, the basketball, is it better for the Sixers just to go away and just start fresh? I still come back to that point. Today's a Sixer day, by the way. We're going to relive 2001, game one of the NBA Finals, the step over game. We'll relive that, come up at 12:20. Lots to get to, and I need to make an impassioned plea on the draft to you guys, because I'm tired of hearing a certain notion about receivers. 610-632-0975 is how you join us. 610-632-0975. It's Cuz Radio Tunis, just getting started on a Tuesday, the last day of March.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
10 o'clock hour brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows. Plus, make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit WindowNation.com. Welcome back, 1021. Cuz Radio, Tunis, hanging out. So we're trying to figure out when is a possible return, and with news that China has stalled and in its hopes to reopen its league, we're wondering, is it best just to for the NBA and NHL just to lock the doors for the season? Just call it, you know, call it the way it is. Just end it. No, there's no champion. It's like baseball didn't have a World Series that year when the season ended August 12th, 1994. There was no World Series. Do we do the same thing? NBA, NHL. No NBA champion, no cup winner. And just start and hope to start fresh and look towards baseball and hopefully football. So we'll go that. We're kind of talking about that. Is it best for the Sixers just to kind of, you know what, this has been a disastrous year. Let's just kind of start from scratch. The other thing, and I want to ask you about this, Tunis. I've been hearing this mantra. And forgive me, like, because I'm not giving you the fake outrage, because I can't get outraged over the NFL draft these days. But it's driving me crazy, this notion. And I hear it all around locally from the media types that a number one wide receiver doesn't matter. I swear to God, I don't understand these guys. I really don't. I don't understand that. I don't get the whole idea that they don't look at how a team is built. Yeah, you know what? If you're a team that had a power run thing going on, like San Francisco, if you're the Niners, yeah, you don't need a number one stud wide receiver. Because you're going to try to win in other ways. You're going to try to win with running the football and playing great defense. But did I not see Tyreek Hill? Did I not see him have such a huge impact on the NFL playoffs last year?
Yeah, he was pretty important for Kansas City.
Right? Like, I love Patrick Mahomes. I love him. I love him. He's my favorite quarterback. Love him. Fantastic. But he's only effective, or that effective, because he's got someone to completely change the defense, change how the defense plays you. It completely changes everything. When you have a guy like him on the outside, it helps your run game. It helps the guy opposite him. It changes the way defenses play you. And if you have a quarterback and you're built with a quarterback, then you have to have a number one wide receiver and speed guy. This notion that Justin Jefferson's okay is ridiculous. It's actually, you don't know what you're talking about from a football standpoint. Because I heard a guy last night say this, and I'm going, what? Are you crazy? How in the world, when you look at the Eagles, how are they built? You got Carson Wentz. You got a real quarterback with a strong arm. He needs to have game breakers. That's your offense. The minute you decide to trade up to get Wentz, you're going to build your team around your offense. You have too much invested in Wentz. And what suits his style is down the field. Not 12 personnel. That's not what's best for him. It's going down the field. Chunis, it's driving me insane.
Yeah, and you're right. It is crazy that people are saying that the rookie wide receivers don't really make an impact anymore. And you don't have to go far back to see that when the last time that happened. It was last year. Just last year, all around the league, there are rookie wide receivers that were making impacts for their teams. I'll give you the top five rookie wide receivers in terms of yards over the season. There's only one guy that crossed over 1,000 yards, and that's okay, and that was A.J. Brown with Tennessee. Then you had Terry McLaurin, 919 yards. DK Metcalf, 900 yards. Debo Samuel had 802 for San Francisco. And Darius Slayton had 740 for New York. Now, Debo Samuel was on a team that made it to the Super Bowl. Did they win? No, but they made it to the Super Bowl. DK Metcalf on a playoff team. AJ Brown on a team that got to the AFC Championship game. The other big thing is, and you talk about Carson Wentz and his strength, which is going downfield. All of these guys, A.J. Brown, 20 yards per reception. Terry McLaurin, 15.8 yards per reception. D.K. Metcalf, 15.5. Debo Samuel, 14.1. Darius Slayton, 15.4. All these guys are around 15 yards per reception, maybe even more like A.J. Brown. And you need that because you didn't have that at all last year.
It's amazing, these guys. I wonder what they watch. Like, honestly, I try not to react, right? But, like, sometimes I question, who's doing what? Like, how could someone have this opinion and be a talk show host? It's outrageous to me. It's completely outrageous to me that you can have an opinion with this whole tired notion that's from 10 years ago. What great receiver won a Super Bowl. I hear that nonsense, that flipping BS. It's all relative. It's how your team is built. It's who your quarterback is, what your quarterback's strengths are. And the reason why I'm so hell-bent on Henry Ruggs, and it doesn't matter about trading up, oh, I don't want to give up X and Y and Z. Yeah, so what? You could take J.J. Arcega-Whiteside? I mean, let's be real here for a second. Let's take our minds off of all of our troubles, and let's dive into the draft. And you tell me that what the Eagles have done has been good. And I love Howie to death. But this has been an abomination. An abomination. Arcega-Whiteside and extending Alshon Jeffrey. What sense does that make when Wentz is your quarterback? What sense is 12 personnel when Wentz is your quarterback? We had on, who's our guy?
Dan Orlovsky.
He was on, I guess he was on the morning show today when that show that precedes us.
Yes.
Well, we love to talk to Dan as well, and he is a very, I think, schooled guy. And we talk about how imperative it is to have a burner because Wentz is your quarterback and because what the burner's impact is with the rest of the offense. I mean, really, what are we doing? Justin Jefferson is a guy who can use a slot guy. Is that what you need? You need another slot guy?
No.
I need another slot guy. Like, I got to deal with another slow receiver on the outside. I don't even know why they are entertaining, and I pray to God that this is just some sort of negotiation, that they're entertaining having Alshon Jeffrey back. You blew it. All right? You blew it. Get rid of him. Forget about the Wentz piece of it. He can't play anymore. You got to get speed. You got to get young dudes that can run. And you know what? This draft is full of guys, young dudes that can run. And you got to get guys that can go down the field, and you got to turn this offense into a strike offense. And before you tell me that they won a Super Bowl and the way they did, it was a complete anomaly. It was. I mean, listen, I love it as much as anybody. It was an anomaly. The right things, all the things came together at once and conspired for that. They had magic. They had guys that gelled. Every one of their free agent pickups worked. It's hard to replicate that. That was like perfection personified. How you're supposed to win that, and how you're going to win, is by having one side of your football be that good. And all you got to do, Exhibit A, the Chiefs. That's your Exhibit A. How many times last year I say, I want to build the Chiefs offense?
Many times.
And
it wasn't just because of Patrick Mahomes. It was because of what he had around him.
Right. Right. It's unreal. It's unreal. Get a clue about football, and let's figure out how to win this thing. And if they don't get a speed guy on the outside that you can count on, I love DeSean Jackson. I love him. But at this point, you're flipping a coin.
Yeah, I mean, he's played 16 games in a season once, I'm pretty sure, in his entire career.
You're flipping a coin. Flipping a coin. You got to get weapons on the outside. And I'm sorry. I know everybody loves Zach Ertz, and I love Zach Ertz. But if I could walk away with Henry Ruggs and Yannick Ngakoue, see, is that, and use my draft and everything, I'll see it. I love you. This is what's best. You got it, because you also need more edge off. You need more pass rush off the edge, and you need to get those receivers, because that's the formula in which you're going to win. You're not going to win any other way. We saw those power rankings. You said that they were 19.
Yeah, I had them low teens.
What's that say? That's you.
Yes.
And you have a vested interest. You root for this team. You give this team the benefit of the doubt.
Yes.
And you had them ranked power ranking 19.
Yes, I had them low. They scare me right now. They do. Again, they could fix things in the draft. They really could. And I could totally change how I feel about that. But right now, because I look at the receivers that you have, and again, it's Alshon Jeffrey and Greg Ward and Arcega Whiteside. And I like Miles Sanders. I like Boston Scott. They have a nice running attack. But this, again, you have Carson Wentz. This isn't a 3 yards and a cloud of dust team.
No,
it shouldn't be.
No. I think I'm insane. Like, I do. I'm hearing guys. I'm going, What? How did you get on the air, man? You must be a funny dude because you don't know anything about football. It's unbelievable. I mean, look at who the quarterback is. Look at how your team is built. Oh, sometimes all came aside. I mean, you know, how is he? I always love him. I love the guy to death. But that personnel department, and you can include everybody, Joe Douglas, the Jeffrey Lurie, who's got input in personnel, they flubbed it, man, over the last 2 years. I'm sorry. You got to build a team around Wentz. That's just how it is.
By the way, those names that I gave you earlier, the A.J. Browns, Terry McLaurins, DK Metcalf, Debo Samuel, and Darius Slayton, the top five rookies in terms of yards for receiving. They also, it wasn't just yards. They scored touchdowns. Right? Like, they made plays. Galladay from the Lions, he led the league with 11 touchdowns. A.J. Brown as a rookie had 8. Terry McLaurin as a rookie had 7. DK Metcalf as a rookie, 7. Darius Slayton as a rookie, 8. Samuel only had 3. But look at the rest of that 49ers team. I mean, they had George Kittle on that team, so come on. And they ran the ball a lot. But
yeah,
those are high number touchdowns,
but
too.
Debo Samuel became a huge weapon in the playoffs.
Yes.
Huge weapon. And they're a team that's built running the ball. Again, this is an antiquated notion that receivers don't matter. This is antiquated. It was once upon a time true. In the early aughts, that was true. Not anymore. Are you not paying attention? The game is taking on a Saturday flair. The game is all about offense. You got to be able to get chunk plays to win in this league. Let's go to Ryan in media to get it started. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, man. How's it going?
What's up, Ryan? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Just out here working. You guys are keeping me sane. Give me something to listen to, at least. Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. We're trying, man. I know it's tough. We're trying to take your mind off it. Because I felt the same way yesterday. I get caught in these moments where all I do is watch CNN. And I'm like, I got to get away from it.
I can't do it. I can't turn on the news for more than a minute.
That's tough,
because you know it's going to be on there. It's not like there's going to be anything else.
I know.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I don't know what anyone who would think that they can go in with the wide receivers the way they have it now, especially with the injury prone. You know, even if they were healthy, it's not really a wide receiver core you would want, and even injury prone wide receivers too. I mean, you could be 4 weeks into the season and be down to Greg Ward as number one again.
It's mind boggling. Right, it's to the point where I wonder, and I listen to these dudes and I'm going, do you guys like sports? Like, do you? I know the thing now is to talk about anything but sports. Like, everybody likes to talk about, and I like to talk about movies and whatever, nachos, but let's not get too far from sports, right? You gotta know your sport.
And, yeah.
I mean, how in the world can you have this thing? Receivers don't matter. This day and age. And you want to slot. And these guys are talking about slot receivers. Like, what?
Well, a lot of the people were talking about the production that Jefferson had, assuming the Eagles could get him. But you forget that if you look at Arcega-Whiteside's production, he was one of the most productive wide receivers in terms of touchdowns in college that year. Like, he was up there. He wasn't. But the eye test, you know, you got to look at the eye test of what guy is who's going to be an NFL
right. It's called scouting
receiver. You know what I mean?
It's called scouting, right? Yeah. It's called you have to take what offense you're playing in, what conference you're playing in. Yeah, like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside has success playing in that Stanford offense, right? That 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and they throw the ball up to him in the red zone. And they're playing against the softest cornerbacks in all of college football.
Absolutely.
And Exhibit A, Sidney Jones. I mean, what are we doing? And that's why it drives me insane when I look at the mistakes that the Eagles have made over the past few years when it comes to high picks.
Yeah, the SEC is like, you know, I mean, that's the pro conference. You know what I mean? That's where you get your no doubt about it players. You know, the other guys, you know, you can get guys here and there, but I mean, that's the SEC. You pick up, you know, high level receivers from the SEC. They, you know, 9 times out of 10, they turn out to be, you know, pro receivers.
I know. Look at all those Bama kids, right?
There's so many of them.
I mean, go around the NFL. They're all good. You know what I mean? It's crazy, man. I appreciate you calling. Because sometimes, Ryan, I think, like, am I on an island? Am I missing something?
No, not at all. They definitely need to do something. I was wondering, is there any way you think they could trade Jeffrey back to the Bears and make some work out with that? He could go over there with his boy Nick Foles. He could be back in Chicago. I don't know if there's a possibility. I know they have a bad salary cap situation, but I don't know if they'd be able to work something out.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Obviously, you'd have to eat whatever you have to eat of his money. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. If I'm the Bears, like, do I want him back? I already got rid of him once. Now, it's a new regime, and you're right. You got Foles there, and you got DeFilippo is there as quarterback's coach. But, you know, I don't know. I just put myself in their shoes, and I would have no interest. You know? Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, Ryan. Thank God for Ryan. Junis.
Made you feel a little bit better?
Yeah. I don't understand it.
Now, let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I don't hate Justin Jefferson. It almost sounds like you want no parts of him. I prefer Henry Ruggs. I'm with you on that.
Listen, he's an inside guy. He's better suited inside. I don't think they need inside guy. I think they need out. They have they're dying for outside receivers. Are they not?
Oh, they are. They are, and this is the draft where you can't go outside receivers. I'm just saying, like, if they finish with Jefferson in the first round.
And I'm going to tell you right now, if they don't move up and they get Jefferson in the first round, I'm not excited. I don't think their offense, they once again will have to get their offense, their spacing from somewhere else.
I wonder what.
Why do you want another slot guy?
No, I'm trying. I want to ask you something. Where do you think? I don't know if I got to look up stats or something with this. Carson Wentz. Is he a guy that like I feel like he loves having a slot guy that he depends on?
I think he needs an outside guy.
I agree. I think he needs a guy on the outside.
I think he's begging for an outside receiver. If I go back to, let's go full circle, back to Darius Slay. And let's go Eagles Lions.
Week 3?
Remember that?
Yep.
A couple years ago?
Yep, it was right after the Bears Monday night game where we said, oh my God, this guy is legit.
And remember, he throws the pick to Slay.
Yep.
And I defended the read. I thought along with Baldy, he and I watched the play 1,000 times, and we thought it was the right read. I thought it was, and he did too. But I'm looking at, you got man on the outside. Like, if you're Wentz and you're a student of the game, and you're supposed to be the kid that watches all the film, that does all this stuff, that pre-snap will tell where to go with the football, right?
Yep.
Well, I see man on the outside. That's where I'm going. Now, unfortunately, that man was Nelson Aguilar.
Yeah, of course.
So,
yeah, man with Aguilar anywhere, you're in trouble.
Right. So those people who said it was a mistake are not wrong because Aguilar was out there. So they're not wrong either. However, my argument is the correct throw was to the outside guy who's got man on him. Therefore, Carson Wentz craves a guy that can get open on the outside.
Okay.
I saw one game with a half with DeSean Jackson, right?
Yep, and then 2 touchdowns.
I mean,
Washington.
I don't know how that would have continued. I don't know if that would have been a thing.
It was nice to see.
I suspect it would have been. But I look at Wentz, and I think Wentz, with the gun that he has, and let's go back to that throw that everybody thought was picked off, that all of a sudden is caught for a touchdown in the back of the end zone. He's got a gun. He can get the ball down the field. I know there was a lot of talk about deep ball. Can he throw the deep ball? Blah, 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 blah. He's got garbage running deep ball. He had nothing. Nothing. So let's get him guys that can actually make him look good and make a play off on the outside. That's my argument. All right? And to me, it's paramount that you get that, or else you ain't winning. Ain't winning. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. I'm going to lose myself into some football arguments today. I really do. We got hoops later on with the Sixers in 2001. I'm like jonesing for some sports just to take my eye. Like I was telling Ryan, I get lost in the CNN. And I say, I get depressed because you're watching so much news and you're seeing how scary it is and you're looking at deaths. And I'm like, I need to come on today and take people's minds off it because I need to take my own mind off it. If that means I got to just dive into arguing about the Eagles, you know what? Take me there. So that's why you hear my voice the way it is. It's Cuz Radio with Chunas right here, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back. Do you ever get into one of those modes? Because I think, you know, this thing affects us differently, right? Like, I think we all go on these mood swings where you watch a lot of CNN and you watch a lot of news and it really impacts, right? It forces you into more of a depressing kind of outlook. Or like our man VG on the text board, who's like one of a real social kind of guy. He's, you know, it makes him depressed because he can't go out and see. He's a real community guy, you know. Let me go out for happy hour and see guys and hang out. And, you know, I mean, it disrupts us, right? And then what happens is you start to look for something to kind of do, right? Watch. So then, and you go on these different kicks, right? I don't know, Chudas, if you're in we talk about these different kicks. So you go, all right, let me go to Netflix and start watching shows.
Did you watch Tiger King yet?
So, no, I did not watch Tiger King.
Let's go.
However, there's a better chance of me watching it now that I found out that Shaq is in it.
Yes, he is in it.
How about...
For a hot second, but he's in it.
And poor Shaq is catching a lot of flack.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, you know, what'd Shaq know about Tiger King? Nobody knew he was a lunatic.
No, exactly. He just wanted to go take a picture with a tiger.
I can't blame Shaq for that. Anyway, so you start to, you go, you start watching shows. You go, I'm not into it. I can't sit still. I can't watch it, right? And you go to something else. You watch old games. But again, you know, as much as we love doing our playback at 12:20, we'd much rather have real games.
Oh, yeah.
Right? The stuff that I can't take is I can't take the hot take people. Like the hot take, the sports hot take people are the worst.
And now they're fishing for even more takes now.
Right.
Because usually, all right, midway through the season last year, not that it was a good take, but a hot take was simple. It was, they should have kept Foles over Wentz. Like, that was a simple take to get to, a simple, dumb hot take. Now they're going deeper for the hot takes because there's no games going on.
Right, and I think they get exposed even more about not knowing the game. I think there's a lot of people that do what we do that they don't really love the game. They just like the fame or popularity.
They like the take.
What's that?
They like the take.
Right. It's all about, for them, the take.
It's hot take over the game.
Not the game itself. And I despise those people. I really do. I despise them. Because, like to me, it's a disgrace. Like, you should, if you got into sports media, you should love the game. Like, the game, you should be game first. But too many of these people put themselves first. It should be about the game. That makes sense to you?
Yes, it does make sense.
And there's too many people out there that aren't sports, that don't love the sport.
You know, it's crazy.
They don't know the sport. They don't like they it's all about themselves.
It's funny because last week we did the Stairs Deep Into the Night, Game 4 NLCS against the Dodgers in 2008. And you said, is this a hot take? I think Shane Victorino's home run was the biggest hit of that entire playoff run. And now I'm like, no, that's like a good second-level sports take. That's not hot take.
Yeah, because I don't want to ever...
Like, a hot take would be whoever got on base before Shane Victorino. Like, I think it was Howard. Like, Howard got on with a walk. The hot take would be, oh, it wasn't Victorino. It was Ryan Howard leading off the inning with a walk. That was the biggest moment. Like, that would be a hot take.
Yeah, see, I don't want to do that.
And a dumb hot take.
Right, like, I don't want to do the bad hot take. I don't want to split. Because I think there's people out there that really know the game. Listeners that really know, that we have callers. And it's funny. I'll give you a guy that I think knows what he's talking about, even though I'm completely on the other side of the conversation with him.
Can I take a guess?
Yeah.
Quaz.
Yes. Yes.
And I agree with you.
Like, I completely disagree with Quaz when it comes to Ruggs, CeeDee Lamb, Judy versus Jefferson. However, he comes to that conclusion even though I disagree with it, from the pure way. I just think he's misguided with how this team is built.
But it's good sports debate.
Yes.
Like, I enjoy listening to you two talk.
Exactly. Like, I like him. Like, I think he knows what he's talking about. But there are other people who come to that conclusion that I have little respect for. And funny, a lot of those are like hosts and, you know, TV guys. I go, really? That's why when we do the show, I like to have a coach on or a player. Rarely do we have the media guy on. Unless, to me, the guy's a really good reporter. Like, I like my, you know, I have Jeff McClain. You know, guys I like. That I think know the game. Like, to me, you got to know the game. Right?
Yeah, I agree with you.
It's 11 o'clock, and you're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
Sorry, I'm a little distracted.
WPN Burlington. For why?
What's on MLB Network right now?
Oh, what is it? What's today?
It's the 2004 Red Sox-Yankees series, but they're doing like the in-game interviews. Like, it's not the full game, and they just showed Gabe. I just saw him out of
really?
I just saw him out of the corner of my eye. He's on the Red Sox.
That was 3-0?
Yes.
I was doing a story on the Eagles, and it was game 7. And I was talking to Andy Reid on the phone.
Really? That's awesome.
And I said, and I remember thinking, like, I want to watch game 7, right? But we had this call scheduled. And I go, what are you doing, man? Because I'm getting ready to watch game 7. I go, my man. He goes, what? You don't think I watch game 7? I go, yeah. He goes, I didn't know. I thought you're, he's like, I grew up, you know, in down the street from Dodge Stadium. He goes, I love baseball. I thought that was,
what's up, love and chat.
I thought that was cool that the big red was getting ready to watch game 7. You know?
He's a sportsman.
Yeah. Like, to me, you got to be a sportsman. That's right. Anyway, it is 11 a.m. and we are a Beasley Media Group station.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.